the Senate health care bill has stalled in Congress. Legislators are expected to pick up the issue when they return from the Independence Day recess. The current bill looks to roll back Medicaid expansion, which could have a big impact on Arkansas. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics recently sat down with Governor Asa Hutchinson, who shared his thoughts on the health care debate.
On Friday, President Donald Trump kind of changed tune a little bit and said that while he has been for repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, he said he might be okay if they just repeal it and not replace it. What do you think about that?
I think that's a bad idea. I mean, you look at the turmoil that the healthcare industry is in right now, just with the Senate debate, with what the reform should be in the future. And then if you just simply repeal the Affordable Care Act without a plan for where we go, that creates too much uncertainty, too much turmoil. And also, it's not just the healthcare industry, it's about individual citizens that get worked up about this. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're relying upon Medicaid or they're relying upon the subsidy and their health care. And so we want to provide a clear path of reform. We need reform. We need to repeal and replace and reform that Affordable Care Act. But let's don't leave that vacuum there.
Let's talk about some of the concerns that you've raised with the GOP Senate plan that's been out there. You held a press conference on Thursday and talked about this. The biggest kind of headline for me was, you think there could be about a $500 million hit to the Arkansas economy. Kind of show me your math on that. Where do you get to that number?
Well, if you just simply look at our expanded Medicaid system in Arkansas, Arkansas works. That brings about $1 billion into our economy every year. 95% of it right now is funded by the federal government. But it's $1 billion investment. If you end that, then that means that some people will have other avenues of insurance or they will go back, but we'll at least conservatively lose half of that investment in our economy. So that's $500 million each year conservatively would be taken out of the Arkansas economy if Arkansas Works ends, if that federal participation ends. And how you get there also is that part of the Senate plan right now, which we hope will change, is that the 90-95% participation by the federal government is rolled back to 70% for the expanded Medicaid. Well, if that happens, that means Arkansas has got a couple choices. We can either come up with a couple $100 million from general revenues to put into the program to continue it, or we can raise taxes, which we're not going to do, or you can create savings in other parts of the Medicaid budget, and that's not fair to those on traditional Medicaid. And so the result would be we would probably have to end Arkansas Works if that federal commitment is pulled back.
And you have also expressed some concern about the potential shift of Medicaid costs to the states. We're hitting around the edges on some of that, but there is also provisions in the bill that would give states some flexibility, but also maybe make it more difficult for you guys to have to pick up a bigger tab. That's a concern of yours as well.
Sure, there's some risk associated with it, and we don't mind taking some risk if they give us the flexibility and the support that we need to manage the programs. We want to save money for the federal government. We want to reduce the liabilities under the Affordable Care Act. But you have to do it by cutting the cost curve, by partnering with the states, and you can't just simply have a shift to the states of all of that responsibility that we're looking at right now. But if there's two parts to the Medicaid program. You have the traditional Medicaid, right, that is largely the elderly, the assisted living facilities, children, aged and disabled. And then you have the expanded population that is really designed for the working poor, if you will, trying to move up the economic ladder. Right now, the Senate plan is to reduce support for both of those. And the traditional Medicaid would go to a per capita cap so that the state would have to assume more risk in a high-risk population that has very high medical needs. And it's limited to the urban index for growth versus the medical index for growth. And of course, that's what we would be assuming as a risk, and you don't want to put that population in the way of having to cut any services.
You have had the ear of Senators Bozeman and Cotton. They have kept their powder dry in terms of where they are, because this has been a fluid situation in Washington this past week. Do you feel like they are fighting for your position on where you think Medicaid ought to go?
Absolutely. I've been very impressed with both our senators in terms of their responsiveness, willingness to listen, taking the issues that I raise around to their colleagues. And obviously, it's very fluid. We don't know where it's going to wind up. And I know we've got to do something. And so I might not get everything I want, but I wanted to raise my voice because it's very important that the people of Arkansas understand where their governor is, and that we understand what the cost would be and what's at stake here in this debate. And obviously, our senators care deeply about that, and they're trying to resolve some of these issues. What we have right now doesn't work. Let's see what, and the Senate's given their best effort to give us a good path to the future, but I want to be a voice that's engaged in that and not just a silent partner that's saying, whatever you give us, we can live with.
Well, the next time you talk to those two senators, tell them they need to be a little more public in their support of your position on that out front. Would you do that for me? Just for me? Not for anybody else.
Just for you. I think they've been very supportive.
I appreciate that. Okay. Also, too, just kind of lastly on this, look into your crystal ball. What do you think plays out after this July 4th recess here? Where they get back to Washington, D.C., do you think that the Republicans finally find some consensus? Do you think it's time to reach across the aisle and look for something a little more bipartisan in support?
Well, I think it's always good to try to build some bipartisan aspect to reform. But it's difficult in these circumstances. The fact is, the Democrats aren't willing to engage in the reform or replace efforts. And so I think you're having to look at the Senate votes and where you can get those among the Republican majority, and that's difficult. I think where the opportunity is that you're creating greater savings than the House bill in the Senate bill, and so you might have to reduce some of those savings in order to not have the great cost shift to the states, to get more support from the different members, and keep some of the conservative aspects to it. But you've got to give us flexibility to the states. You can't abandon that partnership and the federal participation. And we will save money for the future, but you've got to be able to work with the states as we develop
that.
Is
it inevitable that there will be fewer people with insurance as a result of the changes that you think will come out of this Congress?
Well, look at this fundamental point, that we don't like the individual mandate because it's mandating you and everybody and every citizen to do what we've never done before, which is to buy insurance. Well, if you take away that individual mandate, then you're giving every citizen a choice as to whether to buy insurance or not. And if you give them the choice, some people are going to say no. So obviously, when you remove a mandate, the likelihood is that you're going to increase the number that will not have insurance, but much of it is of their own making. Now, that's one of the considerations, is if you don't have a mandate, maybe we need to have an enhanced penalty there or some consequence or some other leverage to encourage the purchase of insurance. But this is a very, very complicated subject.
Sure. Do you think it's possible that somebody would not have an insurance choice but would want insurance?
Well, that's what we're really focusing on right now, because as you move people off of the Medicaid expansion, which we want to do, where are they going to go? Right now, they can go on the exchange and get a healthy subsidy that's sufficient for them to buy the insurance. Now, these are people who are at the poverty level. But if they reduce that subsidy or get it in wrong place and configure it in the wrong way that has winners and losers in there, then yes, you're going to have people move off the expansion Medicaid and they will not have a place to go even they would want it. They say it's not affordable. So you've got to have...
That's what you're trying to guard against.
Absolutely, and yep. Have a strong enough subsidy to make sure that they have that access.
All right, we're going to take another quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and play a little, not really trivia, but I got a couple of quick questions for you on some other...
Well, we've got four major companies from China that's investing in the United States. We're leading in foreign direct investment, and I want to keep those relationships. I want to make sure that the companies that have committed to Arkansas have all the support that they need. So it's, again, twofold, supporting the investment, looking for future opportunities, but we want to capitalize on that.
That was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can hear more from this conversation at talkbusiness.net.
Talk Business and Politics is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. Arkansas Manufacturing Solutions, providing executive-level leadership and management consultative services to Arkansas companies in the areas of innovation, exporting, operational excellence, and sustainability. More information at mfgsolutions.org.